Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you. It's Thursday, July the 30th. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari meets his Cameroonian counterpart, Paul Biya, to discuss the fight against Boko Haram.
Boko Haram is definitely on the defensive. They are on the run. They've been chased out from the key territories where they've been in control.
And the death of Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe causes global outrage. But some Zimbabweans are wondering what all the fuss is about.
What's so special about the lion? We've had so many animals killing people in that area.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari held talks in Cameroon with his counterpart Paul Biya on Wednesday, aimed at finding ways of defeating Boko Haram, a multinational force with troops from their two countries, as well as from Niger and Chad, is expected to be deployed against the militants shortly. Our correspondent in Yaoundé, Maki Kinseka, has been giving Isaac Mugabe more details about this visit.
From the Yaoundé Nsimalen International Airport, President Buhari, alongside President Paul Biya, drove to the Unity Palace, that is the presidency of Cameroon, where they were supposed to have discussions for about 1 hour, 30 minutes. But the discussions took so long, without any explanations as to why the discussions had to extend till very late yesterday evening. When the meeting ended, we tried to discuss with President Buhari, but he declined and said this Thursday there will be a press conference, and that is where they're going to release or disclose the issues that were discussed.
What do Cameroonians think about this visit? Is it coming at the right time? I mean, what do they expect to come out of it?
Every Cameroonian we interviewed is saying that they want peace. They want President Buhari and the president of Cameroon, Paul Biya, to discuss to put an end to this Boko Haram insurgency that is claiming so many lives. The second thing they're asking for is that economic ties between Cameroon and Nigeria be intensified, be improved. The World Bank and the African Development Bank are building a road from Bamenda in Cameroon to Enugu in Nigeria. The portion of the road in Cameroon has been constructed. And it's a wish of Cameroonians here, especially farmers selling their primary produce to Nigeria, that the portion from the Cameroonian border right to Enugu in Nigeria should also be developed. So the first thing is security, and then the second thing, economic ties between the two countries.
You said the talks were scheduled to take only an hour, but took longer than that. Is this a sign that they will yield positive results?
People we discussed with here think that the two heads of state wanted really to take decisions that will solve the problems the two countries are facing, and that is why it took long. But also, look at it from this other perspective. The president of Cameroon understands a little bit of English and speaks French. The president of Nigeria does not understand French, so they had to bring in interpreters, which means that what was scheduled originally for 1 hour could not have taken 1 hour or 1 hour 30 minutes, since they needed people to explain in details what was said there. That may have been one of the reasons it was long, but the main issue is that what is at stake had to be discussed seriously and vigorous decisions taken.
Maki Kinseka in Yaoundé. But how effective is a joint task force at the forefront of discussions in the region likely to be in rooting out Boko Haram? Philip Santner put that question to Jibreen Ibrahim, professor in political science at Babcock University in Nigeria.
It's likely to be very effective. The activities of Boko Haram were concentrated in Nigeria, and our three neighbors, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, took the wait-and-see attitude and simply tried to protect their borders and not really get implicated in the fight against Boko Haram. The reason they didn't want to get implicated was that they were afraid of reprisal attacks. Now, Boko Haram has been attacking
targets inside all the three countries. So they have all had a change of strategy and come to the recognition that Boko Haram is a threat not just to Nigeria, but to all of them.
Nigeria's new president, Muhammadu Buhari, has had a rocky start. Despite hopes that he would wipe out the insurgency, Boko Haram have multiplied their attacks, killing 800 in just 2 months. What is happening at the moment?
I think Boko Haram is definitely on the defensive. They are on the run. They've been chased out from the key territories where they had been in control. The caliphate they set up has been dismantled, and they are only effective base currently in the Sambisa forest. As they scatter, they are carrying out revenge missions on unarmed communities and resorting to the tactics of guerrilla warfare. This is an indication that they are on the run.
Buhari and Paul Biya are not known to be on friendly terms, with tensions going back to Buhari's military rule in the 1980s. How will they manage to hold their mission together?
I'm not sure that there's any personal animosity between Buhari and the Cameroonian authorities. What we do know is that there has been a contention between the Nigerian state and the Cameroonian state, not just over Bakassi, but also on various border issues. But I think the important thing is that both sides now see the necessity in their collective interest to make an effort to go beyond the rift between them and work together to stop in these atrocities committed against their people is what's primary in their joint considerations.
Jibreen Ibrahim talking to Philip Santner.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Government officials in South Sudan are furious with US President Barack Obama over an ultimatum telling them to sign a permanent peace pact with rebels by the 17th of next month or risk tough sanctions. The long-awaited peace agreement with rebel forces led by Riek Machar is intended to pave the way for the formation of a government of national unity. From Nairobi, James Shimanyula reports.
Obama's remarks on South Sudanese peace deal have angered the South Sudanese authorities. Speaking from the capital Juba, Foreign Affairs Minister Barnaba Marielle Benjamin said it was inappropriate for Obama to speak about the complex peace process in the war-ravaged country of 10 million people.
Peace process is dialogue. Peace process cannot be time. At the end of the day, it is the people of South Sudan who will decide what is appropriate that will make their country go forward in peace, in harmony and reconciliation.
Speaking at the ultra-modern Chinese constructed headquarters of the African Union in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa in his first ever trip to the country, Obama expressed great concern over the 19-month armed conflict in South Sudan, which has, according to the United Nations estimates, resulted in the death of more than 15,000 people, the majority of them civilians. Obama squarely blamed South Sudan President Salva Kiir and his principal political and military rival Riek Machar for failing to sign a permanent peace pact.
Neither Mr. Kiir nor Mr. Machar have shown so far any interest in sparing their people from this suffering or reaching a political solution. Mr. Kiir and Mr. Machar must reach an agreement by August 17th, because if they do not, I believe the international community must raise the costs of intransigence.
Reacting to this statement, Minister Barnaba Marielle Benjamin, who translated the sentence as sanction threats to South Sudan, posed three short rhetorical questions.
Why should we be sanctioned? We haven't done any crimes for sanctions. Have sanctions worked anywhere? You sanction a country that is looking for peace?
With the sanctions hanging in abeyance and the countdown to the ultimatum date continues, Agino Juang, an independent Kenyan expert on South Sudan, had this to say.
ultimatum to South Sudanese sign the agreement by 17th of next month is a timely move. The voice of the President of the United States, the position of the United States will be more pronounced when it ensures that any agreement reached is implemented as it is. That's the critical part of it.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula. A court in Zimbabwe has charged a professional hunter with failing to prevent a US citizen from unlawfully killing Cecil, the country's best-known lion. Local hunter Theo Bronkhorst pleaded not guilty to the charge and was released on bail on Wednesday. The killing of Cecil has triggered widespread condemnation, as Columbus Mapunga reports.
The killing of Cecil the lion has not only triggered anger in Zimbabwe, but also among conservation groups and animal activists around the world. Cecil, one of the main lions that roam the Wange National Park and known to be close to humans, was hunted down by Walter James Palmer, an American dentist from Minnesota, after he paid $50,000 to kill the lion. Palmer, who is already out of Zimbabwe, released a statement acknowledging that he indeed killed the animal but believed the hunt was legal. According to authorities, the lion was fitted with a GPS collar for a research project by scientists from Oxford University and was one of the oldest and most famous in Zimbabwe. Conservation groups have called for tougher rules to protect wildlife. Johnny Rodriguez, the head of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, says President Robert Mugabe has to improve the economy as part of scaling up anti-poaching efforts, especially for those living near game parks who may be forced into poaching to earn a living.
The cake is big enough and the slice for everybody will be divided and everybody benefits. I believe that's a way forward. You know, at the moment you've got a poacher that goes to jail if he kills an animal to feed his family, but then you get the big white hunter from overseas, all the millionaires that come here. I haven't seen any of the part where the communities have benefited. So there is a problem. It has to be sorted out.
Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife Management Authority and the Safari Operators Association of Zimbabwe have vowed to bring the American dentist Palmer to book. Here is Emmanuel Fundira, who heads Safari Operators Association of Zimbabwe.
The information we have got so far is that he seems to have committed similar crimes elsewhere. We take very seriously wildlife conservation in that you cannot just go there and help yourself to a particular animal. Those animals are preserved and are preserved for the betterment and livelihood of the future.
There have been mixed reactions from Zimbabweans about the killing of the lion.
Many lions have been killed in this country. What's so special about this one? Because it was killed by a white man.
Unfortunately, I didn't know it. So it's a sad news because a lot of Zimbabweans didn't know about it.
Yes, it might be sad news, but I didn't know about the animal. I didn't know about the importance of the lion. But anyway, what's so special about the lion? We've had so many animals killing people in that area, and there are a lot of people who are failing to do their agricultural activities due to animals.
That report was by Columbus Mavhunga. And now a second chance to hear this week's instalment of The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to Crossroads Generation, our ongoing radio novella about the challenges facing a group of African teenagers.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
We're in the 15th episode entitled It Is Possible. In the last episode, Paolo's landlord came by and demanded that he either pay the rent or leave. After this, Paolo asked his daughters Summer and Noni to go out with him.
Summer, I'm sorry to have to ask you this, but I think you and your sister Noni can help.
How?
You're always wanting to take your sister out, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay then, put on your jacket and fetch your sister. We're going out.
This is pretty astonishing, because Paolo never wanted his disabled daughter Noni to leave the house. He also refused Anita's help when she suggested he send his daughters to a special school. So where is Paolo taking the two sisters? On the other side of town, Mercy and Nikki are keen to have a baby, even though Nikki's HIV positive. Their counselor, Margaret, had some good news for the two of them.
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
It is?
Really? Someone told me that, but I didn't believe them.
Well, Margaret says it is possible. Let's join Mercy as she talks to a specialist about it.
So, you're Mercy Maso Msoto Jumbe. Oh, yes. Sorry, Mercy Msoto Jumbe. Well now, Counselor, Margaret mentioned that she wanted to see me to find out whether you and your husband would be able to have a baby safely.
Yes, Dr. Florence.
Right. What she didn't tell me is which of you is HIV positive.
My husband.
But you're not.
No, doctor. Well, Nikki and I have always used protection when we have sex to make sure I don't get infected. But now we feel we'd like to have a baby.
Ah, and you wanted to know whether it's possible to have a child with him safely?
Yes, doctor.
That's a very natural wish for a young married couple. You've done exactly the right thing coming to discuss this before trying to conceive Mercy. But tell me, where is he? Your husband, I mean.
I didn't want him to come with me in case I got his hopes up for nothing.
I see. Well, I may be able to help you if you're quite sure you know what you're getting yourselves into. But you need to come and see me together.
So, are you saying it's possible?
Yes. The risk of passing on the virus is still there. But with the right treatment, we can minimize it almost to 0%. That's why I said you must find time to come with your husband. I'll explain everything to both of you then. It's quite a complex process.
Thank you so much, Dr. Florence.
No. Thank me when it's done.
Some change for food. Please help us. My sister and I are orphans. We're hungry. Please help us.
Change. Bad. Bad.
Change
bad.
For food. Please help, madam. Hungry. Please
go
help.
Away, you lazy parasites. Why don't you work like everybody else?
We're orphans.
Ah, we all have crosses to bear.
Some change for food. Please help us. My
Noni?
Sister...
Summer? What are you doing here on the street?
Anita! Oh, thank God. Please help us. My dad has gone crazy. He's forcing us to beg for money from strangers.
What? Why would he do that?
He says we only have to help him for a short time until he gets a job.
But this is wrong. How long have you been doing this?
Yesterday and today.
This is completely unacceptable. I can't allow this to happen.
Oh my God, here he comes. Please go. Go before he sees you.
No, I have to talk to him. I can't let this go on.
No, please go. Or I'll be in trouble.
Okay, I'm going. But I'll be back with the police.
Thank you very much, madam. Thank you. Help, help. My sister needs to go to hospital. Help.
Summer, what did I tell you about talking to that woman, Anita?
I didn't talk to her. She just gave me some money.
Don't lie to me, girl. Do you think I don't remember that troublemaker?
I'm sorry, Dad.
Stop being sorry and get back to work.
Yes, Dad.
Home at last. I can't wait to see Nikki's face when I tell him the news. Why is it so dark? Nikki's always home by now.
Surprise!
Nikki! You scared me!
Sorry, Mercy. I didn't mean to.
What's all this? You made dinner?
Yes. I wanted to thank you.
For what?
For being such a special girl and the best wife and friend a man could ever ask for.
Oh, Nikki. It's a nice surprise, but you really didn't have to.
Oh, yes, I had to. Here, sit down.
Come on, Nikki. You don't need to trouble yourself.
Shh. Sit and eat. Here we go. Soup is served. Your very own professional chef is in charge this evening. And the chef says you're just to sit back and enjoy your food.
Nikki, you're so sweet. The soup's delicious.
Told you, professional chef.
Stop bragging. I have a surprise for you too.
Really? What?
I don't want to raise your hopes too much, but I saw the doctor today.
The doctor? What for?
I wanted to find out whether it really is possible for people like us to have a child without passing on the virus.
Oh. And?
She said, yes, it's possible.
What? Oh my God. Really?
Mm-hmm. But don't get too excited. She also said it's a long and difficult process. And I still haven't decided yet.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to raise your hopes only to be told it wasn't possible after all. We have an appointment with her tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mercy. I really love you. Very much.
I love you too.
Is there a single place in this house that doesn't leak when it rains? And the landlord refuses to even talk about repairing it. All he cares about is raking in the rent. Who the hell is it now? All right, I'm coming. Anita, what are you doing here? I told you to stay away from my family.
Hello, Paolo. I'm sorry if we're disturbing you, but we have to talk to you about Noni and Summer.
We? Who's we?
Me. I've come with her.
And who are you?
My name is Morgan. I work with the Child Welfare Department. We need to talk to you about your daughters, Noni and Summer.
Why would you want to talk to me about my daughters?
Paolo, my department has reliable information that you keep your disabled daughter chained to her bed and that you've been forcing her and her sister to beg on the streets. This contravenes the Children and Disabled People's Act.
And who was it who gave you that reliable information? This snooping woman right here, I suppose? Let me give you a word of advice, Mrs. Morgan, or whatever your name is. This is my house, and Noni and Summer are my children. What happens in my house is none of your business. Now, if you don't mind, I was in the middle of repairing my roof.
Paolo, please, just hear her out. All I want is to help Noni and Summer get an education.
They are my burden. My burden, you hear?
Paolo, we are here to try and resolve this amicably. We need to find out if there's some way we can help you. But if you refuse to accept our help, we'll be forced to take action against you.
Oh, really? You and whose army?
I was afraid you'd be difficult. That's why I brought the police along. Officer?
Yes, madam? At your service, madam.
Please arrest this man and find his daughters. We'll take them with us.
Paolo, you are under arrest for using your children to solicit for money. And for obstructing justice. Put your hands together, please. I'm going to have to handcuff you.
What are you doing? You can't arrest me.
Oh, yes, I can and I will. Put your hands together.
And that's it for today. But not to worry, there's plenty more in store next time. What will happen to Summer and Noni now that their father has been arrested? Do join us again next time to find out. And remember, you can also contact us on Facebook. Until then, bye-bye.
Our main stories here on Africa Link. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari and his Cameroonian counterpart Paul Biya have been holding talks on how to proceed in the fight against Boko Haram. South Sudanese government officials have reacted angrily to an ultimatum from US President Barack Obama telling them to sign a permanent peace pact with rebels. And a local hunter in Zimbabwe, accused of failing to prevent the death of a lion, has been released on bail until August the 5th. We welcome your comments on this programme. You can send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.